Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
We continue. At least Sean and I continue what we were doing for the first 3 hours. We got plenty of Texans Ravens to get to. Of course, the college football weekend. Michael Carroll, who just walked past the doorway, he'll join us at 11:30. Sean went to go see a movie that people love, at least so far. So we'll get a non-spoilery review from Sean at 11:30. And certainly Michael can comment as well. But I got to start with this. Yesterday, and really the last couple of days, I've talked about how this is the only show on the station that where you can get the opportunity to win Cougars tickets every day. Houston Cougars, Texas Tech on Saturday here in this, tomorrow in the city, primetime game. See if the Cougars can get to 5-0. Well, Jeremy and Joe made me a liar. They did I'll give them credit, an inventive promo to get people to their broadcast. You show up, say, go Cougs, you get tickets. Well, they did that and removed the last pair from my coffers. So I can't give away Cougar tickets today, but I can give away in honor of, I don't know what the name of the album is, to be honest with you. Something about Showgirls. Taylor Swift has a new album out, and she also has a movie coming up.
The life
of a showgirl. And we're going to give away tickets, 4 tickets, to a behind-the-scenes look at the production of that album. It's going to be a movie about the making of the album. And we have tickets for that. So if you have a Swiftie in your life, maybe you're Swiftie yourself. I don't know. You don't know.
Yeah.
We're going to do that a little bit later today. So if you're interested in that, it's going to be at any Star Cinema Grill. So whatever one is in your area, you're going to get a chance.
Those are nice.
Not now, please.
Yeah, not right now.
Not right now. Unless you want to say something else, we'll welcome the call. But we're going to give away 4 tickets to any Star Cinema Grill to watch the Taylor Swift Life of a Showgirl movie. Like I said, behind the scenes of her making her new album. So we'll do that in a little bit. So hopefully you'll get a chance to win that. All right, as far as the weekend that will be. We got Texans, Ravens, and Sean brought up a point. Is this going to be the weekend of the backup quarterback? Because last night, I watched Mac Jones maybe play the best game of his career. I don't remember much from his rookie year as a Patriot. I know there were moments where the Patriots fans were very excited about Mac Jones. They thought they had their next Brady. They thought they were the Colts, where they could move from one great quarterback to another. Clearly did not turn out that way, as he's now on at least his third team. I'm not sure if he's been anywhere beyond the Jags and now the 49ers, but he started last night, and Kyle Shanahan dialed it up early, schemed up some open throws, got him going, and he continued to play well. He fought through the leg injury that made it look like he wasn't going to come back in the game at one point. So it can be done. You can watch a play caller get a quarterback right, even in an adverse situation, because the 49ers were banged up. We talked about it yesterday, lack of pass catchers. Of course, it did not matter as they win that game 26-23. So we cannot just assume that Cooper Rush is going to be easy for the Texans. The infrastructure, the institutional belief the Ravens have in themselves, I imagine they're not under the impression that they won't win that game. And we talked about it yesterday regarding this Texans team and the Ravens. Should they win? Vegas says they should. Will they win is all about can they eliminate the threat of Derrick Henry? And not eliminate by him not getting 80 yards, 90 yards, but can he be someone that doesn't take over the game? And we're going to play some sound that I talked about yesterday regarding the Ravens and how they deployed Derrick Henry, because Dan Orlovsky looked at it and found it unacceptable how the Ravens have decided to use Derrick Henry, considering how important and how effective he can be. So we'll play that. But that's what you got to do, right? Keep him from taking over the game. Get the Ravens in situations where they just can't continue to hand him the football. And force Cooper Rush, who very smart. Lance has talked about it this week, how he may be the smartest player that he's ever written up. Keep him in spots where his limited ability as far as throwing the football keeps the Ravens from moving the ball. I think it's going to be a big, heavy tight end game. They got both their guys, Mark Andrews and likely came and made his first appearance last week against Chiefs, didn't do much. But he's back, so they'll have the two tight ends to use. The receivers are fine. You know, D-Hop's out there. You've got Zay Flowers and Bateman, but I don't foresee those guys having a great day. Partly because of Cooper Rush, and a lot has to do with the fact that you do have Lassiter, and Stingley's going to play. Stingley was back at practice as he is dealing with the oblique, so he was back out there. I think Will Anderson was back out there too. Or did I miss that? Maybe he didn't show up. But either way, Stingley was out there, so you're going to have your starting secondary. So I think the linebackers, can those linebackers hold up? Speed, Al-Shayer, Toto, and Harris. However many snaps those guys get distribution-wise, can they hold up in the run game, and can they locate, whether it be Justice Hill out in the flat or the two tight ends? I don't think it'll be a wide receiver game for the Ravens. So I don't like the trend that Mac Jones has started. The backup. I don't want it to be the weekend of the backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm.
Everyone wrote him off. He didn't write back.
Because you know Gino's apparently writing
that guy,
back.
That guy,
Gino
yeah.
is writing back right now. It took a while, but he...
Back into a pumpkin.
But he found his pin again, and he's writing back right now. So it started with 49ers Rams. We got another backup in the next game in Wentz versus Browns. Two backups, Wentz versus Gabriel.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that'll lead into the 12 o'clock window here, and then it'll be Cooper Rush. I would like it to end with Mac Jones, and then have the two backup quarterbacks who are facing each other have horrible games. So that makes me feel a little bit better. I don't want the Cooper Rush game. I don't need it.
Or do you want another good backup game?
So it eventually has to
yes,
flip.
And then it's like, all right, what are the chances that we get three straight gems from
can you imagine
middling – are they – no, I guess they're not all redheaded backups.
No, they're not all. Gabriel's not a red. He's not a redhead at all. No.
Hey, or – Mac Jones.
I don't know what his hair color is. It's closer to red than Gabriel's, certainly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah.
Gabriel's the one that breaks it.
Yeah. Unfortunately for your bit. But yeah, I get your point. If it's 31-28 in the game in London, then we got to assume the backup quarterbacks will stop playing well. The Texans will have a lot to do with it. Their defense giving up the least amount of points in franchise history through four games. They lead the league in points per drive as far as defenses are concerned. They have been pretty dominant. And yes, there are some bad offenses in there. The Jaguars are pretty average. Of course, the Titans stink. But they held the Rams down. Two scoring drives for the Rams. Unfortunately for them, they were both touchdowns, and we know the offense couldn't get into the end zone. And the Bucs started hot. The Texans shut them down, but once again gave up a late drive like they did against the Jags as well. So the defense is really, really good. The Ravens aren't completely healthy on the offense either. We know about the defense. Kyle Hamilton's out, or at least he didn't practice. It's not certain that he's out, but he did not practice yesterday with the groin. Of course, Lamar Jackson, they won't rule him out. Specifically, it's not something they've announced, but no one expects him to play. So you would think all the advantages other than the history of this rivalry, if you want to call it that, would say Texans?
Rivalry.
I mean, it's hammer versus nail.
Yeah.
But
does the nail have a rivalry with the hammer?
No.
Well, I guess it's framed as a rivalry, but the Roadrunner and the Coyote, do they have a rivalry?
No.
13-2 all time.
Yeah, it's not a rivalry. They just play.
They play a lot.
They play a lot because
they win the NFC North. And
you play in the AFC North.
And you win
the AFC South. Yeah. So you got to play each other quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's not been a rivalry because of score and really what the Ravens are generally playing for as far as the Texans and what the Texans are playing for. The Texans are trying to win a division and maybe get to the divisional round. The Ravens' goals, which they have not been able to reach, is the Super Bowl. So, yes, there are differences in how these franchises approach seasons, at least how we feel they approach seasons.
Yeah, and I will agree with you. I know we like went back and forth. Was it yesterday's show?
Yeah.
But I will agree that like this is the Texans' best shot.
In maybe ever to beat the Ravens?
Yeah, I mean, I can't. I legitimately can't think of a more overmatched or more, not overmatched, but more Ravens teams that's, you know, you take out the best six players on their defense, essentially. That one, it's going to be tough for them. But it really just boils down to, like, I just have zero trust in the Texans to, like, take care of business.
Yeah, they've earned your distrust.
Yeah.
I can't fight that.
I'm also a little bit, like, trying to head off the, like, hey, after, you know, if they win on Sunday, being like, oh, Texans 2-3. Have they turned things around? Or it's like, or they played a team that, like I said, is missing half their starting defense that was already bad, a backup quarterback, and the other team you beat, their rookie quarterback described him as ass after the game.
We're ass. So
I just don't, like they could win. Like, there's really nothing they can do to make me get back on this team's a playoff team bandwagon on Sunday.
Yeah.
It would have to... I mean, is it bye week then?
I believe it's
Niners, or is it Niners then bye week?
It's bye week then Seahawks.
Okay, yeah. There, I mean, you got to play those NFC West games against the Niners and Seahawks before I start taking anything seriously.
So, a couple guys who you will see on that defense: Kyle Van Noy, full participant, so they'll get one of their better pass rushers back. Travis Jones, a nose tackle who would miss some time. He was limited last couple of practices, so he may be in line to play. Of course, Marlon Humphrey didn't practice. Kyle Hamilton didn't practice. Chidobe Awuzie didn't practice. So their secondary is beat up. Nate Wiggins, who got hurt in the Chiefs game, was limited. He's back at practice, so you probably can't expect him to play. But, of course, Lamar didn't. Ronnie Stanley did, so they may have their starting left tackle back. He was limited in practice.
Yeah, it seems like they're healthy on offense for the most part, except for
the most important player.
Two-time MVP, all-pro first-team quarterback, second in MVP last year.
Are you suggesting he's important?
Yeah, I would call him important.
Okay. And if this show had its way, three-time MVP, that Josh Allen stuff.
It seemed like it was a, like, let's try to make both people happy thing. And it's like, it could have also been Josh Allen first team all pro and Lamar Jackson MVP, but whatever. Not that mad. I've stopped caring. James Harden ruined the MVP award discussion for me.
Were you part of those battles? Did you get into discussions
the
about
Russ them? Year? Oh. I was.
You weren't going to take the Russ,
like,
stuff.
Come on, guys. And then the next year when I was like first Giannis, I was like, I stopped caring. All I care about is
the title.
Oh no, the next year he won it pretty easily in 18. And then 19, I was like, guys, I don't care. They missed 27 straight threes in the game 7. Like, this MVP stuff, don't care.
It feels pretty dumb.
Yes.
At the end of the year, like that happens.
Yeah, now, you know, it's not even my team that's involved in these. So now I'm even more like, this is stupid. Who cares?
Generally,
Joel Embiid versus Nick Jokic.
At this
Nikola
point,
Jokic. Who cares?
It's not even people born in America who win them.
I know.
The MVP
James Harden was the last Patriot to win.
Well, I'm not using that term.
He represents his country in Team USA basketball.
So that makes you a Patriot?
Yeah, like a decade ago he did that. But
yeah.
Still.
Yes, he is the last American-born player to win the MVP. It's just the best Patriot players in the world right now. Okay. Not born in the country. Latest, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Yes, he's Canadian, if you were unaware. All right, we'll get to some Texan sound when we come back. Of course, we still have those movie tickets to the Taylor Swift movie to give away. I see the caller up there. I can't see your name, but we'll get to you when we come back. If you want to follow that person, it's 713-780-3776. Sean and I, we've been here since 7. We'll be here till 12. We'll be back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So, CJ Stroud earlier in the week talked about how the offensive skill players and Nick Caley are trying to figure out a balance between what he likes to do and what they like to do. CJ's very open about things like this. He talks about how he and Kales are working on, as he says, Kales are working on things to make this offense operate in a more efficient way. He wants to be, I guess, more run and gun, as he said it. That's more fun for him and the guys because they're younger and they're new to the league. Kales, I got to get out of that. That's the CJ thing. I don't want to call him Kales anymore. Nick Caley is someone who, as we've seen so far, has been more Patriot-like in the way he wants to run offense. That was the question. Is it going to be more Rams, more Patriots? They'll tell you they're not cookie-cutter. But people have said, looking at it, this hasn't been like Sean McVay. This is more like Josh McDaniels. So they're trying to figure it out. Here's Nick Caley after being asked about how he balances his core stuff with what the players may like to do.
I mean, your offense.
Yeah. Well, I think we have our core principles. We have our offense, our structures, and our DNA. What I think you want to do is, and I don't know what he was alluding to necessarily, but I think it's there are strengths of certain players, and then obviously the quarterback position. You want to have a relationship, and you want to be able to discuss things with the quarterback. And there's certain things that we adjust throughout the week, whether that's Wednesday to Thursday to maybe even Friday. Subtle tweaks or changes could be a formation, could be a movement, could be a coaching point on a particular play. And we're always going to do what we got to do to be able to tweak those things to put us in the best position possible. And I think the quarterback's going to be the guy that's driving those things. So we have those conversations on a daily basis. Him and I, that's what we're here. Again, we got to see it through the same eyes. And we don't always have to agree on the same things, but it's good conversation. And I think it helps him get a feel for how I see things. And then ultimately I get a feel for how he might see things or interpret things. And we can arrive at the decision that's best for our offense. But ultimately we have our offense, and I think it's evolved, as you can see, even in short time in 4 weeks, and we'll see where it goes, you know.
CJ is good for the reporters because he sets them up to then ask the coordinator a couple of days later in response, because he heard Nick Caley. I don't know what he was alluding to, but I guess now I got to talk about this. So CJ's good for them. Gives them a line of questioning without them actually having to think of it. He'll open up and talk, and now they get to ask Caley about what your quarterback said a couple of days ago. So that was Nick Caley. It's coordinator day on Thursdays, and I will say people who watch certainly are going to watch the All 22. I'm not one of them, but listening to what they've talked about, the offense is being tinkered with. To the someone who's just watching them on Sunday, at least through the first three quarters, it kind of looked the same. I mean, CJ did get the ball out of his hands quicker. The checkdowns are there. He's throwing the ball to the tight ends, get the ball out to the back, stuff like that. But people who do that for a living will tell you that less big personnel, less two back, certainly with Jacob Johnson not being unavailable, you saw less fullback stuff. British Brooks wasn't just taking the snap that Jacob Johnson had. You saw, as we talked about last week, the faster guys on the field. You still get your bit of condensed formations, but they tried to flip things and try to move things around to find a way to move the football. It's just the product of having a guy learning on the job, where if you are someone who had high expectations for this team and this offense, you would have preferred that this to be figured out. Hey, we're better when our small, fast guys are on the field. We would have liked to have figured that out in camp.
Yeah.
Instead, it's trial by fire right now, and whatever plan that Nick Caley had for what he thought this offense would be, whether you want to blame a multitude of factors, the youth of some of your skill position guys, the lack of talent and cohesion on the offensive line, it has led to him learning that, you know, my plan that I thought would work isn't going to work. So I've got to find a way to get to a spot where we can at least be average offensively, and that's still a plan in progress. And, of course, this is like the real test of how average can you be. You're going against awful. You, in most cases, have been terrible. This is an opportunity to get right. And it's the Ravens, so everything that comes with that, it sounds silly to say. But if everyone else can, everyone else can have great days, can you have an average day? Can you have your best day, but it's really just an average day for another NFL offense? That's what I'm hoping for. We talked about a potential score yesterday. If you get me 21-17 because your defense does enough, because there will be a Derrick Henry run or two that, okay, that's just Derrick Henry. I understand that. If you give me 21-17, I think it's a good day for the offense. This offense. Like, and if it's like evenly distributed, like, oh, they score like 13 in the first half. And then,
not like last week.
Yeah, not like last week where we're waiting till the fourth quarter.
And then it seems like some the Titans kind of just
let
go.
Some of
the
it's like garbage time touchdowns.
Yeah.
Because the Titans are going for it on their own side of the field and you have short fields. You know what I'm looking for? A couple of 60 plus drives that wind up touchdowns. That's what I'm looking for. I think that would be a great day for the Texans.
10 offense. Points a half.
Yeah. You get me an even distribution of points because I imagine the Ravens are going to run the ball and run the ball, so they're going to it'll be a ball control game. I don't know how many possessions the Texans are going to get. All I'm looking for is 21 points. Mm. That's three touchdowns, man. 20 points, baby. That's all I'm looking for.
Seven field goals.
I'm not looking for seven Kyme Fairbairn field goal attempts.
Seven 49-yard.
I'm not asking for much. I'm just jonesing for like 21 points. That's all.
Yeah. No, you're right. That I mean, the Ravens team has played the Bills, Lions, and Chiefs now. They've given up 41, 38, 37 in those games. 17 to the Browns. If I had to say, like, most of the season, the Texas offense has been close to the Browns.
I need CJ to outperform Joe Flacco. But not by a lot. I know. It's going to be tough.
Yeah. Just another touchdown or field goal. Yeah.
That's all. And if it goes that way and your defense plays up to the standard they set, then you come out of there with a
man,
a win.
Thank God Lamar's not playing.
Really?
Because with this defense, we're still saying like 21 points.
Trevor Lawrence got to what?
17.
So, yeah, with Lamar playing against this defense, we're probably 24 at minimum.
Yeah. Because the thing is, in all those games where they've given up 40 and high 30s, they also scored 40 or high 30s.
Yeah.
Like they also scored a lot.
And they look
games.
Like they're getting Ronnie Stanley back. It's just, as we've pointed out several times, they just are losing their most important player. So they'll hand the ball off a lot, probably a lot of short passes. And will that be enough to get to score 24 points to beat the Texans? I certainly hope not, but all it takes is a 60-yard run from Derrick Henry to change the math.
Yeah, to me, I think that is kind of what it boils down to is, I mean, it's really the linebackers. As we're talking about how the Ravens are going to attack this Texans defense, to me, it seems like the linebackers are the ones that will be under the microscope and will kind of define how successful this Ravens offense with Cooper Rush is, because it's going to be, hey, can you tackle Derrick Henry? Which is hard. It's very hard, but, you know, you're a good defense. And Derrick Henry's about all they can do right now. And can you guard Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely? Keep them in check, because you want to force Cooper Rush to have to push the ball down the field or push the ball to the perimeter. And you trust that against those that receiving core, Laster, Stingley are going to win more often than not. You really just need to make sure that you know, when Zay Flowers catches the ball, you get him on the ground, because he can create an explosive play, but a lot of times with Lamar, it's either a broken play situation, which you don't think you'll get as much with Cooper Rush, and it's yak yardage for Zay Flowers. So if you can keep that in check, it's really on your linebackers and Jalen Petrie making tackles against Derrick Henry to keep a five-yard run, and not a 35-yard run.
I am pretty concerned about what they'll do to isolate Justice Hill on the linebackers, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's another thing.
In the pass game.
In the pass game. You just throw an arrow out to Justice Hill against those linebackers. Wheel route. Those are things.
Toa-toa. Prove that you can stop them.
Those are the things that if I'm the Ravens and I know my quarterback is limited throwing outside the numbers, that's what I'm going to do. Inside the hashes, what can I work on? And the linebackers probably are going to have a day because they may be under attack. Sean, during a break, you said you like when basketball players talk about football. But you don't like when football players talk about basketball. Yeah. Well, this is going to be a real test of that. Let's play Kendrick Perkins. He was on a podcast with Lil Kiki and Dwayne Brown. Does that seem like an odd combo? Maybe, but it is what it is.
I can see it, though. I can see, you know, Dwayne Brown, Texan.
Yeah, Lil Kiki, Houston.
Houston dude. Guy.
So this is on the it's spelled, I'm trying to make sure I get this right, the name of the podcast, the LGND, which is likely Legend Legend Talk Podcast. So here is Dwayne Brown, Kendrick Perkins, Lil Kiki, but you'll hear a lot of Kendrick Perkins, and he's talking a lot about C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud is not it, bro. Woo. He's not it. He's not it. If you want to keep it real, like he came out, he had a great rookie
year. What you mean it?
What I'm saying is he's not that
guy. He's not number two it. He's not number two pick it. He's not going to be just a starter. He's not that factor. What kind of it?
He's not that quarterback that's going to take the Texans and the Texans fan base to the promised land. He's not, bro. And you know this. How much film y'all watch on the quarterback?
Enough.
Huh?
Yeah.
A lot, right? So from his rookie season till now, has he went forward or backwards?
He regressed. Well,
hold on. He's regressed. And the thing that I'm watching about him, he still can't throw to his left side. That's a problem. He still don't know how to scan the field when his first option is not there. That's another problem. So when I'm looking at it, is he your guy? No, he's not your guy.
Kendrick Perkins. So he did the whole he doesn't have it, which whatever it means. You heard the questioning from Lil Kiki. But he did mention some things that would suggest he either was given that information or he's watched enough games to notice. CJ doesn't throw to his left. It is very funny that a basketball player would talk about going to the left. It's just a thing in basketball. Scanning the field, okay. The Nico Collins touchdown where he was wide open was to his left, but think about it. The touchdowns he's thrown so far, and they're just touchdowns, of course, there's a lot more throws than that. The Jaden Higgins touchdown is to his right. The Nico Collins touchdown against the Bucks is to his right. There haven't been a lot of touchdowns. The Woody Marks touchdown was to his left, but it was like in the flat. No,
yeah,
that was to the right, too.
Oh, yeah, the run was to the left.
The run was to the left.
Yeah.
I don't have the down-by-down stuff for CJ, but at least with the touchdown so far this season, Kendrick ain't wrong. There was the one, and he was wide the F open because of a coverage bust.
Yeah.
The awful pick he threw to his left, the Jordan Lewis pick.
Yeah.
Is Kendrick Perkins actually diving into Texans film?
Maybe. I mean, maybe. At the very least, he watches the games.
He does. He knows a little bit, at least, to be able to say. I don't know about all that it stuff. That's just first take talk.
But I will say, I think it does kind of boil down. I think it's a good way to boil down like what you think of a quarterback. Is he it or is he not?
True.
Because that's all we're really talking about when we sit, you know, is he a top tier guy? Is he elite? Is he like, it's different ways to just be like, you know what, this guy ain't it. Like, I feel like you can make a determination on that for the most part.
It's how I talk about Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, you can do it pretty early too, where it's like Joe Burrow, it. You know, like you see Lamar Jackson, it. Year one or full year as a starter for sure. He won the MVP. Even in 2018, like I've seen enough. Josh Allen's really the only guy. He's always the exception to these things where not it, and then he plays his way into, okay, this guy's it. You watch a game now, it's like there's really no other quarterback I'd rather not face in a tight game with the ball in his hands than Josh Allen. Like, I actually do think, and that it is very reductive, it is very, like you said, first take-ified sports talk. But I do think, just saying, this guy, I don't think he's it. Justin Herbert, I don't think he's it.
And while we were talking, there were Texans highlights coming up on Good Morning Football because they were talking about fantasy points and Woody Marks.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of CJ's dropbacks. He was looking to the right.
What if Perk actually just boiled it down? What if Perk, like, actually just, like, he only goes right? He doesn't go left.
He called him the Jalen Brown of the NFL. He wishes
he was Jalen Brown.
Jalen Brown is a finals MVP.
Finals MVP.
You're right
Jaylen
about that.
Brown.
You're right about that. And it's got the big deal that CJ's searching for as well at some point.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to break here. And I'm going to go look at Titans Texans highlights. And they're going to be the highlights. So mm-hmm. we're going to see which throws that CJ makes. And
you're going to chart it.
I'm going to chart them.
Chart the highlights.
And see if Kendrick Perkins has a point. We're going to go to break with that. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. We'll talk some college football, certainly with the weekend coming up here. We'll be joined by Michael Carroll as well at 11:30. But before we do that, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And right now, October is really the best time to get involved on Prize Picks because if you like football, guess what? Saturdays, Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays, that's all filled with football. And you obviously got the baseball playoffs going on, basketball season right around the corner. Might be a season-long projection or two that you want to take a look at, and you can take a look at all that of all these on Prize Picks. And yes, like I said, big Saturday in Texas, I'll say, because you got Texas Tech playing the Cougs. I like Baron Morton less than 271.5 passing yards. This Cougs defense has been stout all season. It's really what they've been able to hang their hat on this season. And Baron Morton got knocked out of the Utah game. Will Hammond came in, played really well. Maybe they go with a little two quarterback system at Tech. I don't know. Maybe Hammond just comes out there and takes the job from Baron Morton. Give me the less on Baron Morton passing yards, 271.5 against the Cougs. Give me Arch Manning more than a half a rushing touchdown. I think he really is the short yardage back for Texas in when they get into the low red zone. They're going to have Trey Wisner come back. I still think he'll be on a pitch count, but I think Arch Manning finds the end zone as we get closer to Saturday. Maybe keep an eye on an interception for either Lagway or Arch in that game. It's going to be a rainy one. And then Texas A&M facing off against a feisty Mississippi State team. I think they're going to be feisty enough to force Marcel Reed to keep throwing that ball. So give me a more on 257.5 passing yards with those two receivers that he's got, Craver and Concepcion, making big plays. I think he can get over that. So whether it's Saturdays, whether it's Sundays, whether it's the baseball playoffs, you can get involved and maybe make a little bit of money. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So I did do a cursory glance at the condensed highlights from the Texans Titans to see if Kendrick Perkins was right. You know, the second and 33 to Nico was down the left sideline when he beat L'Jarius Sneed. So that was down the left sideline. And we got a listener who let me know, at least reminded me, that the touchdown to Tank against Tampa in CJ's coming out party. But it wasn't a touchdown. It was a throw.
Yeah, it was a throw to get there.
Get there. It was
on the left.
The
touchdown was on the right.
Yes. So
middle right.
So maybe Perk is just being Perk. I mean, at least my initial
investment.
At least my initial investment. It's funny to hop on and say your quarterback can't go to his left. Understood. But I looked into it, at least from a couple of different avenues. I don't know that that's true. I would have to, maybe Perk has done more research than me because I only had 4 minutes or a little less than that. So maybe he's done the research. But there it is. Perkins thinks our quarterback can't go to his left.
I just appreciate he doesn't have it.
I do like it. I mean cause it's like, not fair, but I do like
but
it.
But if you boil it down, like hey, the Seahawks are 3-1. Are they Super Bowl contenders?
Nah, you don't trust Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold doesn't have it. But, he's not the one.
But Buffalo's been in contention for years and can't beat the teams that make Super Bowls. Does Josh Allen have it?
I think he does. I think eventually, like, he'll just get one. It might be this year. Like, just where, I mean, you look at the top three that we always come into, seems like the last five seasons, going like, it's one of these three, and it's always the Chiefs.
What about Lamar? He's got playoff failures, like ones that you can explicitly say he didn't play well in. Even the game last year where I like to give him some bail because Mark Andrews was dropping passes. In the first half, he turned the ball over several times. So when we say it, even if Lamar doesn't have it, then CJ ain't got it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I want to play that game.
That's what I'm saying. It's like if you're questioning it, probably doesn't have it. But I think it's also like – Lamar has it for 17 regular season games. It is, and probably like one playoff game. It's just the, you know, when he plays the Chiefs or Bills, doesn't have it. Against everyone else, has it. CJ Stroud doesn't have it against the Jags.
J-Rock was the one who told me and reminded me that the Tampa Bay game where CJ threw to his left for Tank. So he's at least done it enough. I don't know if Perkins said the ball slips out of his hand if he looks to his left, but I just think he believes it is not a strong part of his game.
Yeah.
Isn't
there someone else that like doesn't throw to one side
that
of the
Herbert
field?
Was that Herbert or was that Lawrence?
It might be Lawrence.
There's a quarterback in college who's awful. Was awful at it. I don't remember. It wasn't Drew Aller because that would just make me laugh. I forgot who it was.
Was it Gabriel?
He's left-handed, so I hope it's – well, I don't know if it's him or not. But yeah. I remember a quarterback who was really bad throwing to his left.
Oh, was it Bo Nix?
I think it was Bo Nix.
I think it's Bo Nix. The Oregon connection. Yeah.
I think it was him. He had a problem throwing to his left. But he doesn't really have such an issue in the NFL. All right, we will certainly – go to break in a little bit. I don't know if we're even on time right now. But I did want to get to this. So there was baseball last night and throughout the day. We had series decided. The Yankees beat the Red Sox. The Cubs beat the Padres. And the teams who were off were playing like simulated games. Ichiro was playing in right for the Seahawks.
That was cool.
For the Mariners as they were trying to stay sharp. And he did – was it Juan – no. I forgot which celebration he did to mimic one of the Seattle Mariners. I forgot who it was. Rodriguez, he did his celebration.
Julio
Rodriguez celebration. He did that as he was out in the outfield. But you know who wasn't celebrating at all? Manny Machado.
Oh, yeah.
The Padres were sick of J.D. Rayburn. In fact, they were yelling at him as he was walking. He and the crew were walking by them to get to their own locker room, whatever you call it for the umpires. Of course, they had to walk past the Padres into the Padres dugout and into the tunnel, and the Padres letting them have it. There was a big call in the ninth inning as the Padres were trying to rally. Clearly wasn't a strike, was ruled a strike. And I think it was Bogaerts who said that he's waiting for ABS because he doesn't want to have to deal with terrible calls. So Machado, after the game, was asked like his feelings on losing. And while I get the response, sometimes you just got to know the reporter's got to get this question in, but Machado wasn't having it.
I know it just ended, but how do you assess a season like this?
I mean, what type of question is that, dude? My guy, how do I assess the season? Yeah. We just lost. How do you think I assess the season? How do you think I assess it?
I don't know. That's what I was asking.
You tell me. What's a loss? Zero. We lost. How do you assess it? It's a loss. You lost. Come on, dude. I mean, you could ask better questions than that. Let's go. Come on.
Thank you.
That's
the
killer.
Last second to ask that question. Come on, bro. No, 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 no.
That's the killer. Like, he can, his response, whatever, what do you think? But when he goes, hey, you suck at your job right now. What are you doing? The problem for Manny Machado is he sucked at his job. He and Tatis were like a combined 2-for-22 in the series. So, sure, you're upset.
Yeah.
You don't like the question. What kind of question is that? What kind of at-bat was that? What kind of at-bat did you have throughout? The reporter can't do it because he's got to still do work in that clubhouse. But me, I can do it. I don't have to deal with Manny Machado. What kind of at-bats were you having throughout the series where you failed? The two most prominent players on the roster stunk in that Cubs series. It's funny, though. The Cubs fans really wanted to give it to Kyle Tucker. Actually, it's the Astros fans who are reminding Cubs fans, hey, this is the Kyle Tucker you should get used to. He stinks in the playoffs. He did have a couple hits yesterday, which kind of stemmed what was building from Astro fans because he was bad, particularly, I think, I forgot which game it was. Either way, he wasn't hitting the ball well.
I think it was game one.
Astro fans were ready. They were ready to go. But he came through yesterday. The team came through. So
a certain Cubs fan who I was watching the game with here at the station also was not a big
Cubs fan who
Kyle Tucker
who does
fan.
A podcast about the Astros.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and he might have been somewhere else yesterday, so I didn't watch Game 3 with them,
mm-hmm.
where Kyle Tucker finally came through.
We're talking about Joe, everybody.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. my jury of one Cub fan.
Yeah,
not wasn't a fan.
All's well that ends well, right? If we don't particularly care about the Cubs, or the Padres, really,
yeah.
National League Baseball, period. But I did find
I just think it's funny
that interaction funny. The Cubs
fans were through with them in like July.
Yeah, he got hurt
and he slumped and he was like terrible.
They were done with him, and because they have it in the back of their minds, are we going to pay this guy after giving up mm-hmm. the prospects we gave up and Paredes and of course Cam Smith, all that stuff.
They're in a tough spot of like, well, we kind of have to pay him because we gave up a lot for a rental. But also,
this rental's
I don't
not...
think I want to pay him.
Exactly. So what are we to do? So, of course, you succeed in the playoffs. A lot of you garner a lot of goodwill, and the goodwill was dissipating until yesterday.
Yeah, and if he has a good NLDS and they win, or even if he has a bad NLDS and they still win, and has a good NLCS, like it'll be fine. That is the small sample size of playoff baseball that I mean we remember. Back when the Astros made the playoffs.
So long ago.
Yeah.
Back when they won playoff games. That stretches back to 2023.
Yeah. Yeah. Back when they went on playoff runs.
Yeah. Last year was a playoff appearance.
Yes.
We were used to playoff runs.
Yeah. We had on Brian McTaggart earlier in the morning show. And was it Alex Bregman that is at like 99 playoff games? And it's always crazy to think. It's like, that means I've watched over 100. Like, I've watched so many Astros playoff games that I do feel like a savvy playoff vet, you know? I feel like I can take some of these teams under their wing. I can be what Brian McCann was for me and the Astros in 2017. I can do that for Manny Machado. I can put my arm around Manny Machado and be like, hey, listen, I get you're upset, but this isn't the way to do that. I remember back in 2019. After Game 7 of the World Series, Garrett Cole.
You saw how Garrett Cole
handled it. No, that's not how you do it. Manny, that's just not how we do it.
What kind of question was that?
Just put my arm around it.
Yeah.
Alex Bregman, in the clubhouse after the Red Sox lose to the Yankees, he was giving his, press availability. He was wearing a hat. Do you know what hat he was wearing?
A Red Sox hat?
A Red Sox hat.
Yeah. He learned.
He learned. I learned.
Yes.
So,
and if you go back before he was even on the roster, because 2015 they made the playoffs and he wasn't on the roster, mm-hmm. you've watched well over.
Oh yeah, 05.
Yeah,
that's like but as far another as, 15 but games.
Yeah, but as far as teams who weren't disappointments in the playoffs, the 04, yeah, they made the World Series, so we'll give them credit for that. But that team was made up of a lot of guys who had disappointments in the 90s.
I've been through the wars, you know?
I understand, yeah.
And, I was through...
Grizzled playoff watcher.
I will say in 04 and 05, I was just happy to be there, you know? I wasn't really...
Yeah, you weren't really... You didn't have the scars of the late, the mid to late 90s, yeah.
No, and then they didn't make the playoffs for 10 years. And then, now I've seen it all, man.
That's right.
Honestly, and I think I can share this. Joe, before the game one, just kind of like, just out of nowhere, game's like 5 minutes from starting, he was like, man, I'm kind of getting nervous. And I was like, for what? And he was like, the Cubs game happening in 5 minutes? I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going on, huh?
Yeah. And I was just like, it makes me feel something that you're excited for this. Because I remember last year when the Astros were in that same game, I wouldn't say like I was nervous or excited in any way. I was just, yeah, all right. Yeah, another playoff game. I still thought they were going to win. I was like, yeah, get through this, whatever.
We talked quite a bit about this confidence we had in them. I wasn't worried about the division last year because they just, it was arrogance because they always find a way. Now that arrogance is certainly dissipating.
It's completely eroded.
More arrogance.
They're kind of another. They're a regular baseball team.
Yeah, they're a different version of the Astros, and you got to hope they can find a way to supplement really a starting rotation that is devoid of people you can depend on. They got to find a way.
Yeah.
Brian McTaggart talked about that. You mentioned it. It was myself, John, and Sean with Brian McTaggart earlier this morning. If you missed it, Lance was out today. So that podcast should be up. He joined us at 9 o'clock, so if you missed any of the conversation with Brian McTaggart, you can listen to it in podcast form. I did want to bring up this as far as McTaggart's numbers about the Astros, because the talk or the narrative was the Astros slipped against bad teams and played well against the good teams. That's built in a lot from what they did to the Dodgers and the Phillies when they played National League teams. Yeah, certainly previous years.
The narrative.
But there's a reason they didn't own any tiebreakers going into the final week of the season.
Yeah.
Because they did not play well against AL playoff teams. They were 2-4 against the Tigers, 2-4 against the Guardians, Red Sox 2-4, Yankees are 500. The only team they're above 500 against was Toronto, which they were nowhere near in the chase. And then Seattle, they're, as we know, they got beat down late. They're 5-8. So, yes, losing to the A's sucks. But as I said, when you were trying to figure out how they're going to make the playoffs, not having tiebreakers would suggest you were pretty bad against the teams that would make the playoffs, and the Astros were. So they were 18-25 against AL playoff teams, 13-5 against NL playoff teams. Unfortunately, you wouldn't have to see one of those NL teams until the World Series, and you didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, so we said after the – or I don't know if we said. I definitely said. After the July 4th weekend where they sweep the Dodgers, that was after they beat the Phillies and Cubs. I think they
swept the Phillies.
They swept the Phillies two out of three against the Cubs. And I was like, hey, if this team makes the World Series, we're good.
Yeah.
They didn't make the World Series. They didn't make the playoffs. Because, like you said, they didn't own any tiebreakers. They – you know, one game goes differently. They're in the playoffs and not the Tigers. If only there was a Tigers game that the Astros had a real chance of winning. And then Caleb Ort threw a bunch of balls and walked in a game-winning run to lose 1-0.
And those Tigers, after their historic collapse, washes it all away.
Momentum's next day starter.
Yes, that was a point. The Guardians were 20-8 in September, and the Tigers were appreciably worse. Yep. And when it came down to it,
1-2 in October. When it mattered,
yeah, the Tigers 2-1, the Guardians 1-2, and the Tigers move on. So, yeah, starting pitching matters a lot in those situations, and the Tigers got it done. All right, we'll go to break with that. We will have some college football to discuss, and of course, Michael Carroll will join us at 11:30, and we will also give away some Taylor Swift movie tickets. Yes, not only is her album out, but she's got a movie to complement that album. We'll give away some tickets and four tickets and your chance to go see it at any Star. What's the official name?
Star Grill Cinema.
I think it's Star Cinema Grill. Either way, I'll read the actual copy when it's time to do the read, and you'll get a chance when we come back to go see Taylor Swift's new movie at a great location at Star Movie Cinema or Star Cinema Movie Grill, whatever it's called.
This isn't the air check.
You know, clearly. But I will get it right.
I saw the Fantastic Four at one of these. I forgot what the name was.
Look, my local theater has one name. It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
But because they're doing this, I won't mention it. That'd be bad for the read. We'll do that when we come back.
Loaded, ready, rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.